I was gonna say, earlier today, my dad was in the bathroom and my dog was outside barking, trying to come inside because she saw me. She's getting a lot better with her recall. Now, instead of saying a command, we just whistle and she comes.
Oh, good.
So that's going well. But I like knocked on the bathroom door to like get my dad's attention, and Frida started freaking out and like ran down to our front door, and I was like, "Frida, it was me. Like, there's nobody there." And I feel like that I traumatized her, 'cause now she thinks that ghosts are just knocking at our door when it's just me.
I mean, there's ghosts that just like knock on my walls and Paisley's fine, so.
Oh my God. Okay, speaking of, I
Okay,
wanted
tell
to
me
tell you
about it.
this.
Tell me.
Last night, I was in my bed, like trying to go to sleep, was unable to, and I was laying down. Like, I have this wicker headboard
Yep.
that's not really connected to my bed, and I was laying down, and like sometimes it like knocks, like if I like shift or like something weird, like it'll knock, but this knocking was like, it wasn't random, is the best way that I could explain it. Like, it wasn't random. It was like,
In
it'd
a
be like
beat,
two,
like in a rhythm.
almost like a rhythm, yeah. And I
That's what
like
mine
moved my
does.
pillow, and then like I like shifted, and then it stopped. And I was like, literally, what the hell? Like, I was so freaked out.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't sleep till 5 a.m.
Oh, is that why you couldn't
So,
sleep?
well, that
You
and
probably got
also just like,
possessed. It probably fucking possessed you. Like it possessed your sim and then fucking killed your
stop.
sim.
Don't say that. No, like, I don't even know, man. Like, I tried to go to bed, I was tired, and like just as I was about to like fall asleep, my TV stopped like working. And so then I had to like turn my TV off and turn it on a bunch of times. I couldn't watch Bob's Burgers, so I had to put on King of the Hill.
Why couldn't you
And
watch
then
Bob's Burgers?
because the same like every episode that I tried, like halfway through the episode, my TV would mute and like the subtitles would keep going and then the screen would go black.
That's happened to me
And
with Bob's Burgers before. I think it might, I don't know. Maybe God's trying to tell us something.
maybe to stop rewatching it all the time, but I can't.
No,
I cannot.
that won't happen.
Never gonna happen. So I had to put on King of the Hill, and then I like started actually watching King of the Hill instead of just listening to it, and I was like, oh. And then I was thirsty and got water, and then I like clipped my toenails, and then it was 5 a.m.
The fucking cycle. I get that though. That was literally me the other night when I got 8 hours of sleep and then Justin got home at 12 and then I stayed up playing Sims all night on accident, took an hour nap, and then was fine for the rest of the day yesterday. Why are we like this?
Who knows? Only God knows.
Neurodivergency. Anyway.
I hate us. I hate
No, you
us.
don't.
You're right, I don't.
You love it. Okay. Well, imagine if we didn't ramble constantly. That would be
That,
no
wait.
fun.
It
I would
wouldn't be
just
fun.
like to say, because we have like four Twitter followers, I would like to say that since Addie has joined the podcast, our analytics went up 105% in a week. So like compared to the week before, our analytics were up 105%. And I was like, you're the magic, you're the key. And the top three episodes are all ones that Addie is on, and she's only been on four.
Well, okay. Here's my thing, because I don't think it has anything to do with me. I think it just has to do with the fact that episodes, like more episodes are out, and I don't know. 'Cause like how would people know that like I joined the podcast if they never listened to
Because
it? You
they
know what I mean?
listened to the alien one, right? And then they told their friends and they're like, you should listen to this one with Addie. And then they're like, oh my God, she's back. And then it's like a cycle. And then it reaches more people because it's getting more listens. You feel?
Whatever.
Listen.
I
Listen.
guess I understand your
You
logic,
fucking
but
crazy bird lady. Get out of here.
I'm wearing my crow shirt
I
today
hate you. Don't you want to get crows tattooed under your kneecaps?
Yes, and I had a dream about it last night when I finally got to bed. I had a dream that I went to this place and there was only one artist there and she did all traditional work, which I'm not the biggest fan of traditional work, but I really wanted to get them done, so I just told her to go crazy and like do whatever style she wanted to do. And I didn't look at it while she was doing it, and I got home and the tattoos were like an inch big. They were like super tiny, like little birds on my knees, and
Little tiny small.
Yeah, but I do plan on getting that done soon. I need to just find a place that has like, 'cause my plan is I want the artist to have like some, like I want it to be in their style. So I want to look up
Okay.
an artist that like, you know, I like their style, whatever, and then just like give them the idea and then let them go ham. Because why not?
Okay. I get it. I don't know how to react to that. I'm sorry. I'm just no, because I'm
It's
thinking
just a
about like
state.
telling you about my dream that I had last night. It was more this morning
Tell
because
me.
Justin's alarm went off at 5 and I fell back asleep. So once I fell back asleep, I had a gnarly fever dream. And I woke up in a cold sweat and sobbing. So I don't know if I've actually ever talked about this. So I used to be a theater teacher, a theater director, for 8 years. And I got fired very recently, pretty much like 2 weeks after I started the podcast. And so I had this dream that like they called me to come because my old boss had come back and she wanted me to start working for her again. And so when I got there, she's like, "Oh, I lied to get you here because they all want to apologize to you." And so they all apologized for me and I got my job back and then they were going to pay me like 3 grand a week. And all the kids were so excited to see me and like gave me hugs. And then I woke up fucking sobbing.
That dream would make me so sad.
One of my
I'm
theater
so
kids
sorry.
said he might listen to the podcast, so now he's going to know what actually happened. Hey, buddy.
Keep this on the down low.
I love that kid. He's a gem. Anyway, I'm going to bring us back down. So I last episode I talked about let's see, a bunch of robberies. I talked about Georgia Thompson. I talked about the murder of Tina What Washington? Yeah, Tina Washington, and she had her ring stolen, the one that says "We love mommy, let's just break everyone's heart real quick." And then we had the food truck workers, Myrna Palma Ronan and Romelia V Vargas. I believe that's all the murder victims I covered last week.
I'm pretty sure that that's all of them.
Yeah, and then there was like sexual assaults that I talked about, but I don't want to go through those again, so if you need a refresher, you can go listen to the first part again because I'm not talking about it again. So yeah, so I have not even finished talking about the victims, so I'm gonna continue with that and then shit hits the fan, dude. After like the part one research that I got, because I did all of my research in one go, but after finishing the 2 pages of research that I told you about last week is when I found the court transcripts. And so I had to, I started inputting all of that into my 2 pages that I had, and then it spiraled into 5. And yeah, so that's why I had to split it into 2 parts because I'm a crazy person. So, do, do, do. So I think when we left off, we were in 2006. So this is going to continue in 2006. March 15th at 9 p.m., a double homicide was discovered in Phoenix, Arizona. The two victims were employees at Yoshi's restaurant, and they were on their way home from work in the same car. So they were carpooling together. 19-year-old, I read in some sources she was 19 and some that she was 20. Either way, her name was Liliana Sanchez Cabrera, was found shot in the head in the car, partially unclothed at a Burger King. Why Burger King? I'm sorry, I
Why? What is it
can't.
with this fast food
I
obsession?
can't. Getting murdered is awful, but getting murdered at a Burger King parking lot? The other victim was 23-year-old Chow Chu. He was discovered about half a mile, or sorry, about a mile away in an alley, and he was shot in the head as well. Ballistics indicated that both victims had been shot in the car with the shooter in the passenger seat. Chow's car keys were missing, and so was the cash in both of their wallets. Chow was from Taiwan, and he had been a dedicated employee at Yoshi's for many, many years. March 15th, the day they were murdered, was Liliana's first day working at Yoshi's, and Chow had very sweetly offered to give her a ride home so she wouldn't have to walk.
That's really nice. It's a really nice gesture.
Very, very sweet. And that's, I mean, there, like I said, all these victims are people of color, and I don't know if that has to do with why I can't find information on them, but the only thing I could really find was a statement that Liliana's mother gave to police. She said, quote, "I think about her when I wake up, when I cook, and remember her favorite foods when I go to sleep."
Aww.
So ripping all of our hearts out once again with this. I wish, like, I'm going to say it again. I just wish there was more information on all these victims.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel
something
fair.
That gave us more of a story of who they were.
Right. Because they're not, obviously they're murder victims, but they're not just murder victims. They were people.
Right.
You know, Liliana had 20 years of living before she was murdered. Like
20 years of achievements, 20 years of, you know.
Yeah. Of dreams, aspirations. Like.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's not a single thing that she did in 20 years that you guys could, like, write about.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to not be so, because it's just a recurring theme in this. And I know that, like, if I just keep getting angry, it's not going to help. This one is difficult because there's not much information on her because of a different reason, and it's going to piss you off. So, on March 29th, 2006, at 12 a.m., 26-year-old sex worker Kristen Nicole Gibbons had been shot in the head. A local businessman had noticed the streaks of blood at the parking lot where he worked, and he called the police. After a search of the area, police found no source of the blood and nothing of real value, so they left. 5 days later, the same man was investigating a horrible odor in the area, and he found Kristen's body in the trash. Behind.
Are you kidding me?
Behind his work.
So the police came and saw blood and didn't do anything about it?
Yeah, because it was like one in the morning. And they were like, meh.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Now, reminder, we're in Arizona. It's ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
Decomposition happens very fast.
Yeah.
So Kristen was almost completely decomposed at this point after only 5 days. She was mostly nude, and she had bruising and scratches all over her arms and legs.
Wow.
Her purse and cell phone were missing. And as I said, I couldn't find any information on her, but I did find out from Find a Grave that she was from Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything on Kristen, which is unfortunate. There's like one picture of her and it's very blurry and grainy and black and white. It's just a really fucking shitty picture. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why couldn't, like, no one has, I need to stop getting so fed up about this. It's just like, it's very hard to focus on the victims when there's nothing to tell about them.
Right. Right.
It's like, I'm here to tell their story, and their stories aren't here.
Yeah. It's not for lack of trying, though. Like, you tried to find information about her, and unfortunately, there isn't.
Well, and I found, okay, here's the funny thing, because I found Kristen Nicole Gibbons on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And the location was, like, 20 minutes outside of Phoenix, I believe. And I was like, oh, this must be her. But, like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because I was like, but the fact that I, like, scoured through to find a fucking LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
And I still, like, I couldn't find anything. So, I'm very upset. I read through, like, 7,000 articles, too. Like, I read so many old newspapers and nothing. Okay. Moving on from that. On April 10th, 2006... Sofia Nunez's son walked home from school because his mother never came to pick him up. The front door was locked, so he went through the garage, and when he got inside, the water was running, so he just assumed she was taking a shower. The sound of the water running went on for way too long, longer than a normal shower, so he went upstairs. And when he went upstairs, he found the bathtub overflowing with blood and water. Sophia had been shot in the face at close range, and her shirt had been pulled up with her bra undone. Oh my god,
Was she in there?
Yeah.
When he found her?
Yeah.
Oh, poor kid.
The boy pulled his mother out of the water. yanked out the drain stopper to drain the water, and he tried to perform mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, not understanding that she had already been shot and killed.
Yeah.
Sophia's murder did not fit the profile of the baseline killer, since she had been murdered in her own home instead of, like, abducted or killed in her car or something. And so her murder went unsolved. It was a cold case for a little while. It gets better. Like, actually. Not right now, but it will. On May 1st, 2006, a man pressed a gun to a woman's head while she was sitting in her car, and he ordered her to open the passenger side door. He said that he had just robbed a store and needed to meet up with his friend, M.O. again, all the while instructing the woman not to look at him. Now, this woman's a bad bitch. This one's going to make you pretty happy. The man ordered her to pull over in a quiet neighborhood, get undressed, and then perform oral sex on him. So same M.O. all over again. She refused, so he pointed his gun at her head and threatened to shoot her. And she replied, "Go ahead." He pulled the trigger, but the gun misfired, so she grabbed her keys and fled from the car, so he couldn't chase her with the car.
What a bad bitch. Smart.
Very smart. I adore her. Very. It's like, there was one, victim, I think it was in the Ed Kemper case. I don't remember if she died or not, but there was one victim who, like, he went to stab her, and she just grabbed the blade of the knife.
Yeah.
And I was like, the instinct to do that is, in the human brain, it's not there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can I survive without hurting myself? So to just grab the fucking knife by the blade is so badass. It kind of just reminded me of that. She's like, fine, fucking shoot me. Like, I don't care. And then the gun misfires, and she's like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm running away now.
It's like, God's God's applauding her. He's like, yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never. I'd be dead. Like, 100% I'd be dead, because I'm very much a freeze. I don't fight or flight. I freeze. And so I'm just like, I literally don't know what to do ever.
Well, that's a flight. That's definitely a flight response, because it's like a mental flight. Your brain kind of just exits the chat.
Checks out. Yeah.
Yeah, but so she survived, thankfully, which is very helpful in court, obviously. And then the last victim is a woman named Carmen Miranda on June 29th, 2006. So she was at a car wash pretty late at night. There's actually CCTV footage of this, and it's very scary to watch. It's very poor quality, but like, I watched it before I knew what happened, and then I knew what happened and rewatched it, and I was like, oh, I can see exactly what's happening, and it's terrifying. So Carmen was at the car wash on the phone with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend overheard a man demanding something from Carmen, but he couldn't, like, make out what he was saying. As I said, there was CCTV footage, and the footage shows Carmen vacuuming her seats when the man approached her, pushed her in the back seat, and drove away with her car. The car was found in a secluded parking lot about 2 hours later. Now, this is also, like, not very in his MO.
Right.
As much as it... I mean, maybe it is. I don't... I guess it's the first murder that we have, like, CCTV of, but...
That, and he was never driving.
Right.
Really.
And that's the thing, is it's, like... He always... And we'll see. I mean, I keep saying we'll see later, but there is, like, a big twist in this. The car was found in a... Oh, I said that. In a secluding park... Did I say this? Found in a secluded parking lot 2 hours away. Okay, yeah. Carmen was found dead in the back seat with a gunshot wound to her face, and her pants were pulled down. So, by this point, detectives had discovered through phone records that a man named Mark Goudeau had called Sofina Nunez 300 times between March and October of 2005.
300 times?
300 times. That's at least twice a day.
Oh my god, okay. And what was this guy's name again?
Mark Goudeau.
Okay.
Mark Goudeau. So M-A-R-K-G-O-U-D-E-A-U.
Okay. Weird.
I'm trying to remember how this plays out, because there's, like, really... By this point, there's, like, no timeline of anything that happens. So basically, I'm just going to spoil this for you. The member in part one where I said that the two girls were sexually assaulted, the sisters, the pregnant one and her sister.
Yeah.
So they matched saliva DNA to Mark Goudeau.
Gotcha.
And so when they, I believe that's how they kind of connected it. And so when they saw that Mark Udoh had called Sophia 300 times, they checked the bullet in her head. And that bullet was compared to the rest of the bullets, and it matched every single one.
Right.
So every single murder victim had the same bullet wound. And not same bullet wound, sorry. Every bullet had the same, like, markings, distinctive markings on it from the gun. Now, Sophia and Goudreau, this is another thing, is, like, Sophia was the only victim who actually knew him.
Yeah.
They had been reported to be seen together on two occasions in 2005. So they obviously knew each other. They had been together, but they had only been, like, seen together twice. But they had obviously met up multiple times.
Right. Okay.
A relative of Sophia told the Arizona Republic that he tried to tell Sophia that he was a professional athlete, but she didn't believe him. So we have compulsive liar on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia had also mentioned to this, or said to this relative, quote, "There's something weird about him, and I think he's married," which he was. Mm.
This, who the fuck would marry this guy?
She's just as batshit crazy. But, like, not. You'll... I'll get to it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Just, it's like... okay. It's, like, because I'm struggling with it, too. And, like, I know everything about it. Not everything, but I know how everything plays out. And I'm, like... And I've, like...
Yeah.
Fucking technical difficulties. No, I lost my place. Oh, yeah. We said... that he's married, and then you were like, who would want to marry him? And then I said I'd get to that later because it's all a bit confusing and fucked up. So this relative also revealed that Sophia had allowed Goudreau to come to her house and even install a security door. So would that mean like a door with a security code?
I don't know. Yeah, sure, maybe.
Well, what does security door even mean? Like, a door with an alarm, maybe? I don't know, but, like...
I guess. Like, that makes sense.
So, wouldn't that mean he, like...
heavy-duty door? I don't know.
Right. But, like, wouldn't that mean that if it had a code, he would know the code since he set it up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So, as I said, Mark Udoh had already been convicted of the sexual assault of the two sisters when they found his DNA on one of their breasts. But Goudreau's saliva was also found on Sophia's breasts, linking him to the baseline killings. So his saliva was found on her body, and the bullet that they found matched the other bullets. So that's what linked him, like, full circle right there.
Yeah.
On September 6, 2006, on his birthday, his 42nd birthday, Mark Udoh was arrested and charged with 74 separate felonies, including 9 first-degree murders, which the state sought the death penalty for.
As you should.
74 felonies, dude.
That's so many.
74?
In a span of what, 2 years?
Not even. A year and a half.
Not even. What the hell?
Yeah.
You fucking should spend your birthday in jail, disgusting human being.
Yeah.
Stupid idiot.
Virgo season things. Just kidding. Just kidding. All my, like, two of the closest people in my life are Virgos. I can't. Anyway, so where am I going with this?
He was arrested for 74 different things.
Oh, okay. So this is the part that's going to get you. So remember our good old friend Mullins, who admitted to George's murder?
Yes.
Got arrested for her murder?
Yes.
Yeah. So he didn't actually murder her. I'm sure you all knew.
Why does that not surprise me?
I'm sure we all knew that that's where it was going. So when her murder was linked to Mark Udoh, Mullins was questioned, and he admitted to falsely confessing because he was getting over 25 years for robbery, which is why he was in jail in the first place. But if he pled guilty to Georgia Thompson's murder, he could cop a plea deal and get, like, way less time. And so he was like, if I get extradited to Arizona, I can get less than 25 years if I plead guilty to something I didn't do, than get 25 years to a robbery that's already been proven that I did.
Okay.
So basically, just, like, fucked the whole case, okay?
Yeah.
And if we thought the law enforcement in this wasn't already just fucking awful. Mullins had no clue that Tempe was even in Arizona. Mind you, he was in Kentucky when he admitted to the murder.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even, he didn't know that Tempe was in Arizona. And just like the rest of us, wondered why the fuck it took the law enforcement so long to figure out that he didn't do it. And law enforcement believed him with a substantial lack of evidence. And in my opinion, I think the lack of evidence is just more evidence that he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally feeding to you, hey, I'm 2,000 miles away from Tempe, Arizona. Also, I murdered this girl. Also, I don't know. I don't have a motive and I don't know what happened to her, but I did it.
Right. How incompetent do you have to be to, like...
They're racist as shit. Well, actually, Georgia was white and so was he. So I don't know. Like, they're just fucking dumb. They did not care. And I think the reason they didn't care about Georgia was because she worked at, like, Hooters in a topless bar.
Yeah, which is fucked.
It's like, if that can is we just fucking respect all murder victims, maybe? Maybe find the same justice for all murder victims, regardless of their race,
occupation, race or anything?
Sexuality, yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on. So, at the trial, and I didn't really cover the trial a whole lot, because I don't care. It's boring to talk about, and also, like, I don't care. I just don't. Mm. Like, I don't care that he had to sit through it. I don't care what he had to say. I just don't.
Yeah.
So, just a quick thing
this
that I have.
This isn't about him.
This isn't about him. This is about the victims. It is a little about him in a couple minutes, though, because I have some questions. At the trial, 7 victims of sexual assault and robbery identified Goudeau as the assailant, and an 8th victim was able to pick out his voice from a lineup. But there was one circumstance, I can't remember which victim it was, but one or two of the victims couldn't pick him out of the lineup. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
After 77 days of trial over almost 8 months, Goudeau was found guilty on 67 counts, including all murder charges, all 9 murder charges.
Right.
The jury found each murder to be a life imprisonment or death eligible offense.
Wow. Each individual murder to be?
Each individual murder.
Wow.
So imagine 74 felonies and he's guilty on, they found him guilty on 67.
Wow.
And that's everything I have, like, on the victims and the trials and everything like that. Now, This is the part where I was like, hey, I need someone to feed, like, I need someone else's feedback because I feel like I'm going crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to preface this by saying, I'm not claiming that he's not a piece of shit, and I'm not claiming that he's innocent of anything. But one, I don't think he was acting alone. And two, I think there are some things that he did not do. Just as a blanket statement, there were also two other serial shooters at the time in the same area, and law enforcement was desperate to make an arrest because the entire area was just so anxiety-ridden because they didn't know at the time, but there were 3 serial killers just, like, mm-hmm. roaming around.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna start by talking about a man named Terry Wayne Smith. He had spent time in prison. He was, you know, armed robbery, violent assaults, shit like that. Just really not great guy. Well, he had spent time in prison with Goudeau's brother, Mike.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yep. He lived very, very close to several of the crime scenes, and he had actually hinted to people in his family that he was involved in some of the murders.
Okay. Why would you tell anybody
that? Because he's a fucked up piece of shit. He literally has less brain cells than Mark Goudeau, okay?
Okay. But, okay, so you said this guy spent some time in jail with Mark's brother.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which links them.
Right.
They never found the gun at Mark's house.
Hmm.
But 9 people got shot. So where's the gun?
Right.
Terry has
Who has the gun?
Yeah. Terry has the gun. An officer named Rusty Stewart wrote a 20-page report that linked Smith to be an accomplice to Goudeau, but investigators ignored the evidence because it could have given Goudeau an alibi for some of the crimes.
Gotcha.
One of Stewart's colleagues wrote to the county sheriff saying an unnamed supervisor had, quote, the unnamed supervisor was Stewart, but he left him unnamed for privacy reasons. He wrote, quote, he had communicated that there would be no surprise on their part if other managers engaged in planting evidence to frame Goudeau. This same superior stated that when the management was presented on multiple occasions by Rusty Stewart with the potentially exonerating evidence that may have had exculpatory value to Godot, the response from both a lieutenant and a sergeant was, quote, "Why would you want to give that N-word an alibi?"
Like, I get it. I get that they don't want him to get away, especially when you have linking him. But you can't do that.
No.
That is not your job.
Especially when there's another dangerous person that helped him.
Right. Like, wouldn't you think, though, that, like, wouldn't it be better to possibly try to catch two people instead of one?
Right.
Like, that's how I thought of it. Like, I don't think of it as giving, like, whatever the first guy, I'm not even going to say his name. Instead of, like, thinking of it as, like, him getting an alibi, it's, like, two people are involved in these crimes, so couldn't you try to find evidence?
You're putting two dangerous
evidence?
Men away.
Right. Like, wouldn't you want that to happen? Because
right.
I feel like they're... If they found the gun in the other guy's house, that's...
But they never even searched his house.
Right. But if you tried, maybe... using more than half a freaking brain cell to, like, look and try to find the murder weapon, maybe?
Well, and it's, like, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just, like, angry and I don't know how else to, like, express it. But it's, like, as I said, I don't think he's innocent on all accounts. I think he's a piece of shit. I don't think that he committed 74 felonies.
Right.
I think that Smith had contributed
to
at least some of them.
Yeah.
I think that's why Godot couldn't be picked out of a lineup on some occasions.
Yep.
And that's why the MOs was switched up sometimes.
Yep.
And they shared a gun. I also don't think that people in law enforcement that are throwing around racial slurs should be even, like, allowed to be held accountable in a case like this. Especially where most of the victims were people of color.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
It's like, regardless of how much of a piece of shit this guy was, that kind of mindset is gonna bias you. That's probably why, I mean, that's part of the reason why all the articles were so, like, eh.
Yeah.
She worked at a nude bar, or, oh, they just ran a food truck. And it's like...
Right.
They had families.
They had lives. They had achievements. They had dreams, you know?
Yeah. It's just, fuck, I can't. So on top of all of this shit, they issued 3 fucking warrants to search Godot's home.
Okay.
3. Is that not excessive? I mean, I'm not in law enforcement, but isn't that excessive?
I'm curious as to what the warrants were for.
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Let me tell you, okay? So, the first warrant said, quote, and, like, it, you know, a lot of warrants are, like, vague.
Yeah.
Very, very specific. The first warrant allowed officials to seize, quote, any and all shoes to include, but not limited to, black shoes, white tennis shoes, etc.
Okay.
The second warrant pertained only to computers and electronics in the home.
Why, though?
A few weeks later, they found Chow Chu's blood on a pair of white tennis shoes that they were able to take from the first warrant. They also found a ski mask that had Kristen's blood on it.
Okay. What was the third warrant? Do you have that?
I do. And it's just more infuriating. A third warrant was issued on October 6th, so an entire month later, an entire month after he was arrested. Ready? To search Godot's home for the missing ring in, quote, any and all clothing and shoes/footwear belonging to Mark Godot. So if you're going to search shoes again, why didn't you search them in the first warrant is my question.
Right. Why not you just, like, I don't know how warrants work. Why don't you just get a warrant to just search his house?
Right. Well, I think you have to put specifically, like, what you're getting the warrant for, because you need to put, like, what evidence they're looking for and stuff like
right.
that.
Right, okay.
But still, it's like, why do you need to, get a warrant for his shoes specifically
again.
Twice.
Yeah.
Well, upon the third... Sorry, continue.
Okay, sorry. I feel maybe the first warrant could have been done to check all of his shoes, maybe for something like footprints or blood splatter or something, and then they had to specify that they were looking for the ring in his shoes. which I don't know if you can put those, like, two reasons into one warrant or not, but...
It's not, because with a warrant for shoes specifically, you can still pick them up. Like, you are, if you have a warrant for something, you are allowed to touch things and go through them.
Right. Okay, so then I don't understand why they had to get that. Yeah, well, anyway.
Upon the third search, they found Tina Washington's ring in a small baggie inside one of his shoes that was sticking out further than the rest of his shoes. So this one shoe was sticking out for, like, a little further, because they were all in a line. But they
didn't find it till a month later.
And it was just pulled out a little bit.
I hope that she got that ring back.
Who? Tina?
Yeah.
She died.
I understand that, but I mean, I hope that, like, it was returned to her family or buried with her or something, that it wasn't just kept as evidence.
Well, I don't know, because there was no DNA on the ring at all. There was none of hers or Mark's or anybody's DNA. Wendy Carr, who is Guido's wife, still is his wife, she claims it was planted because investigators had purchased a copy of the ring as a model to search local pawn shops, and it may have been placed in the home upon second or third search of the house. Because psychologically speaking, he was very much a sexual sadist.
Yeah.
Very, very much. Tina Washington was not sexually assaulted. Thankfully. I mean, let me check again. I'm pretty sure she was not sexually assaulted. No. She was shot.
So then this could have been the other guy's doing.
Yep.
Possibly. But because the cops wanted to put this guy in jail, they could have planted that ring there.
Yep.
Fuck, that's so confusing.
Well, when the guy on the team is, like I said, saying racial slurs.
Yeah.
And Guido's wife is white, and even she's like, this is a race thing. Like, and I started to watch this documentary on YouTube. I think it's just called Baseline Killer. And I started watching it before I did, like, all the research. I watched it months ago when Mike sent me the case initially. And it was, I don't know. He's so genuine that he did not do everything that he was convicted of. He's like, I don't want to die for things that I didn't do.
My thing is like, what infuriates me the most about that is that, like, you could have put two guys behind bars. Right. Like, you could have put two monsters behind bars instead of just, like, focusing all your attention on this one guy and, like, trying to bring justice to the victims who possibly weren't killed by this one guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't follow up and try to find the fucking murder weapon. Like, that's my thing, is, like, isn't that your top priority?
Well, how the fuck he didn't know they were onto him, so how the fuck, like, how would he have gotten rid of a whole ass gun?
Right.
The only thing that I can think of as compelling that maybe he did do all of it is that everything stopped once he was arrested.
Right.
But also, this other dude could have just been too fucking scared because he had the murder weapon.
Right.
Like, I think he's a piece of shit, and I do think he deserves to rot in prison. We know how I feel about the death penalty, and we won't get into that. But, like, as much as I hate him and how much he sucks, I still don't think people should suffer for things that they didn't do.
Yeah.
That's just, like, my moral code, I think. It's, like, only be punished for what you did. It's, like, when you're fucking growing up, if, like, I don't know, if my cousins and I used to get in fights, like, one of them would do something and then blame it on me, and it wasn't me, but I would still get in trouble. It's, like, feels like that.
Yeah.
Except on a way larger scale.
I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I agree with it.
There's just so much gray area with this.
I feel like either way, though, because he did kill people, and you mentioned that he was eligible for the death penalty on every single death, that, like, either way, I feel like
he was eligible for either life or the death penalty.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Either way, he's still guilty as hell, but, like...
Oh, of course.
The other guy also should, like, I don't know.
They should have at least fucking questioned him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and I tried to rewatch that documentary after I did all of this, and I just couldn't. Because at first, before I knew everything, I honestly thought that he was just, like, innocent of everything. Because it didn't... It was more one of those things that was, like, on his side. And so I didn't know of the evidence or anything. They do claim that his evidence was implanted on the women's bodies. Like, I do believe that maybe Kristen's DNA or her blood was planted on the ski mask, and I do think mm-hmm. that maybe Chow's DNA was planted on the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things that they're saying law enforcement did is also very far-fetched, and this whole case is just such a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad I have someone to discuss it with, because I couldn't do this by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's everything I have on, like, the sketchy shit. And then, I guess, finally, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Mark, because just kind of, like, see where he came from, or see how the fuck he became the way he was. So, as I said, he was born September 6th. He got arrested on his 42nd birthday. He was born in 1964 in Phoenix, Arizona. He was the second youngest of 13 children. His parents were Willie and Alberta. His siblings say that their father was verbally abusive and an alcoholic. At some point, Willie and Alberta got a divorce, but Alberta died in 1976 when Mark was only 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, Mark was great at sports and he was on the football team, but he didn't graduate because he didn't have enough credits. On November 7th, 1982, he and his brother were arrested for raping a young woman, but no charges were ever pursued. In 1987, he was charged with trespassing and then charged with a DUI in 1988, rather.
Mm-hmm.
In August 1989, he abducted a woman, raped her, and bludgeoned her with a barbell. He claimed to officers that the sex was consensual, but two other men came in and raped and beat her. He was sentenced to 15 years for the abduction, and then another 21 for robbery in 1990. In 2004, he was released on good behavior, and he moved into the Baseline area with his wife, Wendy. Or, like, the Baseline Road area.
Mm-hmm.
His neighbors liked him so much that they overlooked his criminal history, and he got a job as a construction worker.
Just overlook someone's criminal history?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Conveniently, the crimes began a year after his parole period ended. And that is everything I have on the Baseline piece of shit. Or multiple pieces of shit.
Sounds like a horrible person.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Wait, what'd you say?
I said, sounds like a horrible person.
I'm kind of glad it's over with. I had a really hard time, like, getting into the case because cases like this, like, serial cases, whether it's rapists, murders, it's not that they bore me. It's not that they're not interesting. It's not that I don't want to know about the victims. It's just that it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's true. And I need to have the attention span. I was very lucky today because usually it takes me about a week and a half to do research for a case. I got it done in 5 hours.
Yeah. You worked hard.
Yeah. And I recorded two episodes. I mean, I did how much work today? I started at 12. It's 8:30. I worked like a full day today. Like a normal human being. But yeah, I don't know. Like, the Rodney Alcala case was really hard for me for the same reasons. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. Like, it's infuriating when there's no information on the victims and who they were. It's infuriating that people got away with things for that long. And then it's infuriating when race gets brought into it, or sexuality or occupation gets brought into it. And then, like, victims are dismissed or they don't always get the right people, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's really been weighing on me to do specifically for Mike, because it was, like, he's the first person who ever reached out to me, and I, like, really wanted to do this for him. And it was hard to, find information, too, because this is a case where you'd think there'd be a lot of documentaries, or books, or
recordings, something.
Nothing. There's absolutely nothing. There's that one documentary. It is 27 minutes long and it's on YouTube. And it's literally just called The Baseline Killer. And it's a compilation of, like, news reports and one single interview that he did with a British broadcasting company. Not BBC, but, like, a different one.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't speak to Americans. Like I said, I tried to watch that documentary again after learning about it, but then I just couldn't sit there and I'm such an empath, and not that I feel bad for him or anything like that, but I get emotional when people get emotional, and I didn't want to feel that way about someone like that, so I turned it off. I got 5 minutes in, and I turned it off.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for his wife, because she thinks he's innocent for everything, and she's so naive. I mean, I guess I don't feel bad for her, but, like, it's just a shitty situation all around, the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know, maybe because she married a monster that I, like, don't really have any sympathy for her. I'm kind of just like,
oh, of course.
Where was your husband? Like, why were you not, like, why were no red flags raised for you throughout this? Like, I just...
That's true. That's true. How do I'm you not, marry like, someone like that? I'm not, saying I feel anything
no,
for her.
No, I know. But it, all around, like, there aren't... It feels like there is no redemption, really, in
That's
this
what
case
I mean.
For anybody.
Like, literally no one.
Because the victims didn't get any... The attention that they deserve. They didn't get the recognition
they didn't get justice.
That they deserve for the... Yeah, they didn't get justice. And the fucking killer, like... Also shit with, like, law enforcement. Like, you know, it's like nobody fucking wins.
Right.
Really.
Right. And, like I said, that's why I just couldn't pull myself to cover this. Because... Yeah. I don't like cases that make me feel incomplete, that make me feel like I'm longing for something to, like, fill that teeny tiny, like, that last puzzle piece that you're missing. Like that fucking puzzle we did when you were here.
Oh, my God.
You lost the puzzle piece. Anyway.
Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it
that
to
puzzle
be incomplete.
Is this case for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, what's it called? Anxiously looking around for that last piece, even though it's never going to be found.
It's a bright pink piece, and my floor is all black. Like, we were never going to find it. It doesn't exist
anymore. I
definitely
lost it, like, 4 years ago when I first...
Oh, 1,000%.
It's in a dorm room or, like, house, random house
Or in
somewhere.
Someone's vacuum.
Or in someone's vacuum, yeah.
Way in a landfill.
R.I.P.
I can't do, like, you will never catch me doing an unsolved case. Unless it's, like, very, very highly requested. I just want you guys to know if you ever send me an unsolved case and, like, just bombard me to do it, I'm gonna make Eddie do it. Because I can't, I can't handle it emotionally.
Yeah.
I don't like not having...
Completion. Justice.
Completion. I'm a very, like, once you start it, it has to end. And if there's no end, I can't handle it. So, please never send one to me. send them to Addie, and then, you know, I can suffer while she talks about it, but then I don't have to, because if I get sucked in, like, the Bear Brook case, that one child, they still don't know her name, that was, Rasmussen's daughter.
Yeah.
That still fucking haunts me. Like, it actually hurts me, and I'm like, I can't, because if I start researching something, I won't stop, like, trying to find the answer. I need to have, I'm a very structured person. I need to have answers for things. You can see my face. I'm getting stressed. Like, I'm holding my face in stress right now, so.
Yeah.
I need to stop thinking about things. I think I'm just overtired.
It's okay. You need some rest, too, when you're battling your sickness.
Oh, my God. And then I have to drive. Well, I don't have to drive. I get to drive 5 hours on Monday to come see you.
It should only be about 4 hours. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. Well, I guess by the time this comes out, I will already be in New York.
Yes.
So we'll just assume that I'm having fun, that I've seen Sleepy Hollow. What else have I seen?
Bear Mountain.
Bear Mountain. It's very pretty. I'm going to tell you guys, it's really pretty. I'm manifesting it. Everything. Yeah. I've had so much fun.
And we're eating penne vodka every night.
Oh my God, stop.
Delicious penne vodka every night.
So
and
good.
We're cuddling with my cat Oatmeal.
Oh, it's just, I thought you were just going to say we're cuddling. And I was like, yeah, probably.
Oh, that too. Well, we're cuddling and Oatmeal is...
We've probably watched Black Swan and American Crime already.
Yeah.
I've probably watched Black Swan by myself 3 times since I've gotten there. Anyway.
I'm asleep.
No. We're both taking a nap at 4 p.m. and then we're up until 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
Drinking way too much coffee.
I'm going to... Is it okay if I do the sign-off?
I would love for you to do the sign-off. I want to see if you remember it all.
I want to see if I remember it, too.
Ooh,
so, okay. If you want to reach out to us, we are on Instagram at YourWorstNightmareTCP. You can find us on Twitter now at NightmareTCP. You can email us. Please reach out with any stories, comments, suggestions, anything. If you just want to say hi at YourWorstNightmareTCP@gmail.com. And if you want to help us out in a different way, you can subscribe to our Patreon. It's $5 a month at patreon.com/yourworstnightmareTCP. Did I get that right?
I've never been so proud. I feel like a proud mom right now.
Ah, It didn't take me that long to memorize them all. But yeah, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. We're kind of like not really shitposting on Twitter, but like kind of
1,000% shitposting on Twitter though.
So, you know, if you want to follow that, Instagram's also great. But yeah.
I've been shitposting on Instagram too though.
Yeah, no. It's like it's all hilarious.
We've been trying to make this more like inclusive and fun and not just like blah and sad, and so what I've been doing is just like, because we did Sleepy Hollow and Mothman, so I just photoshopped like really fucking shitty pictures and just uploaded them, because I was like, I can't just like be posting depressing shit about murder victims and like constantly.
So we're a little bit more lighthearted on our social media.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still dark and spooky in real life, but like with the sparkle emoji, I guess. Like, dark and spooky with the sparkle emoji.
I love that about you.
Oh, I love that about me, too.
Well, thank you so much for listening. And do you have anything else to say before we sign off?
Is it Thanksgiving yet? Or is that the week after this one?
That's...
I'm gonna just keep asking that until Thanksgiving. Hold on.
Until it's Thanksgiving.
Hold on. Let me do math. Okay, it's the one after. Never mind, guys.
All right.
I'll wish you a happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate it next week. Although I hate Thanksgiving because fuck the foundation of this country. But
happy
whatever.
Indigenous Peoples Day.
Thank you.
Did that already pass?
That already passed.
Okay, well...
That was on the 11th.
Gotcha. Well, fuck Christopher Columbus anyway.
That was literally the day you left my house.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, yes. Well,
I guess,
protect Indigenous people's lands.
Do that. And also, fuck the Arizona Police Department. Whatever, the fucking Phoenix Police Department, Tempe, boycott. Let's see. Your homework for this week is to fucking put, what's-his-face in prison. Actually, I think he might be dead. I'm not sure. Shit on his grave. Terry Wayne Smith.
Oh my god. Okay.
All right. Anyway, I'm slap happy and overtired. I love you. Bye.
Bye, friends.
Bye.